Amen. I appreciate that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Again, I'm grateful for Brother Kevin George. He told me he was going to set Brother Bill Conley up, and then Brother Bill wasn't here, so he changed things up. But he said, I'm going to get up and say I forgot my Bible, so I borrowed one for Brother Bill. I don't know what this thing is, the message, but I'm going to preach from it today. But that didn't work out, so he tried to put it off on me. He didn't know I'd be able to listen online, so it didn't work out very good. But somebody, I texted to see how it went, and they said, well, you preached from the message, but other than that, it was all right. But I appreciate Brother Kevin George. He's a good friend. We did go to seminary together more years ago than I care to admit. And I love him. I want you to pray for him as he and his family seek the Lord's will and where he wants them to be. But please pray for him. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick up there and study from verse 10 and following. We covered a few verses there last time, and we're going to pick up at verse 14. But I want to start at verse 10 and pick up where we were, so you'll get the context. But we've been studying the book of Ephesians for several months and learning about what Christ has done for us, the riches we have in Christ, and what church is really all about and what it's supposed to be. And so he spends a few chapters telling us about who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us. And then chapter 4, he begins to tell us about what to do with that. So he gives us the truth, he gives us the teaching, the doctrine, and then he gives us the practicality, what to do with it, how we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. And he talks to us about how to live out our Christian faith and how to live out these truths, because it's important for us to know the truth, but then we have to apply the truth. And so there are people who want to live out these things of God and live for Christ, but they don't know what the Bible teaches about him and who he is and what he's done, and that won't work. You can't live the truth if you don't know the truth. But on the other hand, we might be tempted to know the truth and then not live out the truth. And we have to have both. It does us no good to know. As a matter of fact, it may be worse to know the truth and not apply it than to not know it at all. And so God's given us these things, and we come down to verse 10. And if you'll stand with me, please, we'll read our text for this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help us to rightly divide your truth today, and to learn these truths and apply these truths. Lord, I pray if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, that's never repented of their sin and their unbelief, they've never trusted in Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray you convict their heart today that they would repent and believe and call on you and receive the free gift of eternal life. Lord, all who are saved, that we would give our lives wholly unto you, that you would help us to put on your armor each and every day, and that we would stand, and that we would fight, and that we would live for you in these last days. Please help, Father, for we're nothing without you. Please bless your word by your Spirit, for we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So a couple of weeks ago, we were reminded to be strong in the Lord and to put on the whole armor of God. And I want to remind you very quickly what I told you a couple of weeks ago, this fact, that when we look at this passage of Scripture, a lot of time we kind of get in our mind the picture of the little kids flannel board in the back room, or the little posters we put on the wall, and we think about Vacation Bible School and the kids marching around in the whole armor of God, and we get in our mind that this is kind of a kid's thing. And I want to tell you, it couldn't be further from a kid's thing, that this is serious business, that we are at war today with the devil. We are at war with spiritual wickedness in high places, and you don't get to be Switzerland in this deal. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not if we wrestle, but we do wrestle. and you are at war, whether you realize it or not. You are at war, whether you like it or not. We are at war today, and I told you, and it's still true today, that many Christians in the world today don't even know that they're being defeated. Amen. They don't have a clue. I told you that in that wrestling, that in that match, they would put those gladiators in the battle, and they would wrestle, they would fight each other, often to the death, and you won when you got the opponent down and you put your hand on his throat. And there are a lot of Christians that are bloodied, and they're laying in the dirt, and they are in the arena floor with the devil's hand around their throat, and they don't even know it. And I want to tell you today that we are at war, but we have been given the victory. If you'd go back in Ephesians chapter 1, you would see that Jesus Christ is above all principalities and powers. He is above all things because he created all things and he conquered all things when he died on the cross and rose again. And he has already won the victory, but we still have to fight the battle today. Day by day, we have to fight the battle. And so he admonishes us in verse 13, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, because we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, because of those things, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so this morning, we want to get into the details of the armor of God, but I want you to notice in verse 13, he says, the whole armor of God. You don't want to just get part of it. You want to get the whole thing. In the Greek, it's one word, whole armor. It's one thing. This suit of armor that the Roman soldier wore, it's all one thing. You don't just get a little piece of it. You need all of it. In other words, you can't just take the truth and leave off faith, and you can't take faith and leave off the helmet of salvation, and you can't take the shield of faith and leave out the sword. You've got to get all of it if you're going to win victories for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you. I don't like to get beat. Amen. Some of you are ultra competitive. I know how you are. And you know what, that you don't like to lose. Listen, I don't like to lose at sports. Sometimes my kids will play a game, or I don't care if it's a game or sports or whatever it is. They'll accuse me of letting them win. I promise you this, I don't ever let my kids win at anything. Now, some of you think that's awful, but what good's it going to do to let them win? Now, the sad thing is they beat me a lot at everything. And so we understand we've got this thing in us that says, I want to win. Well, I tell you, as much as I got that competitive spirit and things that don't matter, friends, I don't want to lose a battle any day. I don't want to lose the battle when Satan brings temptation in my way. I don't want to lose that battle. I don't want to win. And we can win when we put on the whole armor of God. We can stand. We don't have to be knocked down with the devil putting his foot on our throat. We can stand and we can fight and we can win, but we've got to do it God's way with God's tools. Amen? Stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. The first is the belt of truth, if you will. And the Roman soldier and all of the clothing back in those days, the Jews and the Romans alike and Greeks alike, they wore long flowing garments. You and I would probably call like a robe or a skirt. And those things would get in the way. And it was important when you went into battle to gird up your loins. In other words, you would pull up that garment and you would tie it tight around you because you don't want that thing flopping around. You don't want it to be something the enemy could get a hold of. You want to bring it all together. And the Bible gives us this picture that belt is truth. And it is truth that holds everything together. Amen. Truth is absolutely essential. Because if you're not held together and surrounded by truth, then you can get in trouble on any side. Amen. People today say doctrine doesn't matter, but the Bible says that doctrine is vital. It says its purpose is to give us doctrine. Truth matters, friends. Amen. We live in a world today of pluralism where there is no truth, and relativism where you have your truth and I have my truth. And sometimes when I try to share the gospel with people, they'll say, well, that's good for you, but I have my own beliefs. And what they're saying is, you have your truth, I have my truth, everybody has their own truth, and really, if that's the case, then there is no truth. If truth is relative, there is no truth. And I want to help you out today, especially some of you young people that don't get this yet. There is truth. Amen. There is right and there is wrong. Amen. There is truth, and that truth comes from the Word of God. Amen. And if you will find the truth, you will only find it in Jesus Christ and in His Word. And if you will find His truth, it will set you free. You see, people who don't have truth think that they're free. They're floating around and it's a bunch of nonsense. And they're blown around with every wind of doctrine. They're here and they're there, and whatever new thing comes along, they drift over here. They're like a wave. They're like somebody tossed around by the waves of the sea. They have no foundation. And they think they're free because they're floating around like a helium balloon. But the reality is they have no stability, therefore they have no freedom. But you find the truth does indeed set you free. When you get to a place where you understand that there is absolute, and there is right, and there is wrong, it holds you together like a belt holds your garments on. It holds you together. The truth surrounds. The truth is foundational. The truth holds everything else in place. And don't you notice that the Holy Ghost has given us this in order, and the first thing He gives us is truth. And we have to build on the foundation of the truth. A lot of people today are very confused about the truth because they're confused about this book right here. I want you to understand this as plainly as I can say it today. This book is the Bible. We call it the Bible. It's a collection of 66 books. This book is the Word of God. This book does not simply contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And you need to get this, because you're going to hear people say this kind of nonsense. And I want you to understand, if you say this is not the Word of God, it simply contains the Word of God, then you get to decide, or some other human being gets to decide, which part is the Word of God and which part is not the Word of God. We aren't the arbitrators of truth. God is. And God has given us His Word, and in His Word He said, "It is my Word," and in His Word He promised to preserve His Word. And so He gave His Word, and we can trust that He preserved His Word. You guys with me today? Listen, this is foundational, I know. But it's absolutely essential that you understand when you open your Bible to read it every day. And I know you read your Bible every day. And when you read your Bible every day, that you understand that you're not taking it as man's word, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And if this church is ever going to have any hope to be a church like the church at Thessalonica, that's where it starts. Is when we hear the Word of God, we understand it's not the Word of man, but we understand that it is in truth, the Word of God. That's where truth comes from. And if you understand it's the truth, then you will read it every day. And if you don't study your Bible every day, there's something wrong. Listen, if you don't eat every day, I'm going to assume there's something wrong with you. Unless it's a time of fasting and prayer that you've set aside. Listen, I eat. That's what we do. We normally do that. We eat every day, right? How many of you eat every day unless you're fasting? Or sick, right? Last time I had the stomach flu, that's when I told Sister Carol to keep that stuff to herself. I told you before, last time I had that stomach bug, I thought I was going to die. By 4 or 5 in the morning, after being up all night sick, I was praying that I would die. I'm not joking. I'm serious. I thought, Lord, I'm going to miss my kids, but you know what? I'd just rather die than be alive right now. I hate it. I hate being sick. I'm the biggest baby in the world. Melissa's back there listening in the nursery, and she would amen it right now. I'm the biggest baby when I'm sick. I hate being sick. Listen, unless I'm sick, I eat. You guys with me? Spiritually, if you're not eating, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not surrounding yourself with truth, there's something wrong. It's not normal for Christians to not study the Bible. And so we've got to surround ourselves with the truth of the Word of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Next, he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate was the garment that covered this part of your body. And the Roman soldier had the garment, it covered their arms, the shoulders, covered the chest, it covered the vital organs. Now, the common everyday soldier, the guy who wasn't going out into actual battle, he might just wear something leather, and it might have patches sewn on it of something hard like horns or pieces of metal. But when it was time to go to war, they put on a full-blown breastplate. And the breastplate was made of segments of metal that were flexible and that moved and that would stop an arrow. You guys with me? These things were incredible innovations at the time, by the way. Rome advanced in warfare and weaponry and armor like no other civilization before them. And the breastplate was there to protect the vital organs, especially the heart. The breastplate was something that was strong. The breastplate was made to go with you. Like I said, it was segmented, so it moved when you moved. I want you to get this. Righteousness is doing what is right. And when you do good, when you do what is right, it protects your heart. You see, righteousness is defined by Jesus Christ himself. And by doing right, what we're doing is being like Christ. And the more we live like Christ, the more we grow like Christ, the more we take on his attributes, the better protected our hearts will be. When a Christian says that they're saved but they don't live like they're saved, they become more like the world instead of more like Christ, and their heart becomes more and more vulnerable. The more you live right and do right, the more protected your heart is. And this is so important for us, Missionary Baptists, because we understand that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. But many times we forget to read on where he says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we don't do right things so that we can be saved. We do right things because we are saved. And we spend so much time trying to make sure people understand you don't work to get saved. Sometimes we forget to do the work. And you can say, well, if I mess up, I'm still saved and I'll still go to heaven. And you are right. But that doesn't make it right. We're to do good, to live righteously, to put off the old man, to put on the new man. And the more we do that, the more we protect our heart. And do you know why so many Christians fall away from the Lord and fall out of church and fall into sin? They do it because they don't do what is right. And their heart becomes vulnerable. I mean, what kind of soldier would go out onto the battlefield and say, you know what? I don't really like this armor. I'm just going to take it off. You know what's going to happen? He's going to be shot through the heart. He's going to be hurt. He's going to be defeated. Amen. I remember not long after I got saved and baptized and really started to study the Bible, and the Lord allowed me to do more things in the church, and it was an awesome time. And I remember starting to really get into the Word of God. And when you start learning about how we're supposed to live, has anybody ever felt overwhelmed by that? Anybody? Thank you. Bless you. I was looking at you. I knew you should be raising your hand. When you start thinking about what we're really supposed to do, I mean, when you start really looking at what we're supposed to put off and what we're supposed to put on and how we're supposed to live, it's an overwhelming thing. And I remember thinking sometimes, like, I can't do this. There's no way that I can live this kind of life. And you know what? That's exactly where the Lord wants us to get to. Because you can't, but He can through you. You see, we put on the whole armor of God because it's His armor. It's not ours. These are the tools. These are the equipping of the Holy Spirit of God. These are not things that you can muster up. Listen, you can't create truth. You have to put on His truth. Amen. And you can't muster up righteousness. You have to put on His righteousness. Amen. And so we've got to get in His Word to find out, and then we've got to rely on His Spirit to empower us to do what's right. You're never going to be able to do it on your own. Nobody can. Amen. But what we can do is rely on Him every day. And we fight every battle every day.
Amen.
Satan's trying to get at your heart. He's trying to get a hold of your heart. And the Word of God says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we understand how important it is we guard our heart. We do that by doing what is right. And we do what's right by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we got to get on our knees every day and say, Lord, help me. To walk in righteousness. Help me to put off the old man. Help me to put on the new man. And I think if everyone in here was honest this morning, you could say, I'm struggling with something.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm struggling with something. And what you ought to do, and that's good, and we ought to pray one for another, but what you ought to do is take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling with something. I want to put this off, and I want to do what's right, but I keep falling. And we've got to go to God over and over and over and over and over as long as it takes and never quit. It's always worth getting up again. The righteous falls 7 times and rises up again. And I'm telling you, it's worth getting up again. And keep striving to do what's right. Don't quit. When you do what's right, it protects your heart. It's vital. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, it's an important thing to take care of your feet. You know, the Bible talks about our unseemly members, like our feet. We don't think much about our feet until there's something wrong with our feet. Brother Rogers over there, he'll amen that. I remember reading about soldiers in Vietnam, and those guys would get out there in those jungles, and how important it was for them to take care of their feet. I mean, if they didn't keep their socks dry, and I read about the guys in World War II when they would be out there, and guys would get trench foot and things like that. I'd be out there in the woods in the middle of the winter, and they would wear a pair of socks, and when their feet got soaked with sweat, because you're going to sweat in your feet, but then they get too cold, and they would take their socks off and hang them around their neck. I bet that smelled good. And let their socks dry around their neck and wear one pair, and then they'd switch them out like that to try to keep their feet dry. Because if your feet are messed up, it's going to be really, really hard to be effective in battle. Your feet are so important. They may be our unseemly members, but we've got to take good care of them because they're vital. And what the Roman soldier would do is he would wear the sandals. And if you study the history, they had studs in them or nails in them, and they were what we would call cleats today to get traction and to be able to move effectively in battle and to be able to hold their ground in battle. He says here that we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies in us with meekness and fear. Be ready with the gospel. Friends, I love this verse. Because once we have the truth and we're living the right life, now we may mess up sometimes, but overall we're going the right direction, we're doing the right things, then we are prepared to give the gospel to others. It's important when you're going to go to battle to have your shoes on. I couldn't help but think about the Passover. When the Lord gave the Israelites the Passover in Egypt that night, he said, I want you to eat with your clothes on and your shoes on and be ready to go. Be ready. And when the Jews observed the Passover all those years, they would sit down to dinner with their shoes and their coat on and their staff in their hand, ready to go. And I think about us today, friends. We have a risen Savior who has given us life, and we need to be ready to go for Him. The shooting down in Sutherland, Texas, a few weeks ago. I don't know if many of you read about the guy who stopped it, but his daughter came in and said, there's somebody shooting up the church across the road. And he ran out, and he got his gun, and he ran outside. He didn't even take the time to put his shoes on. He got in a gunfight with that guy without any shoes on. He jumped in that other guy's truck, and they chased him down. He didn't even have his shoes on. And I got to thinking about that later. I'm sure he didn't worry about his feet until later. But I bet the next day he's thinking, I wish I'd have had my boots on. I mean, can you imagine running out there in the parking lot and getting in a gunfight with somebody and running across the street and getting in the truck and, I mean, all of that going on and you're barefooted? Is that right, barefooted? Barefooted? In your bare feet? None of that sounds right. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. And we need to be ready by having the truth. We need to know the gospel, and we need to be ready by living right, putting on that breastplate of righteousness by living out the truth. And when we do that, we're prepared. Friends, you ought to study your Bible. You ought to know the gospel. You ought to know why you're saved and how you're saved, and you ought to know how to tell other people how to be saved. We need to be able to use the law lawfully. We need to warn people that they have violated God's commandments, that they have broken his law, and they are condemned before God, and they are in desperate need of a Savior. We need to be able to explain to them why Jesus died on the cross for our sins and how he rose again, and how that by repenting and trusting Christ, they can have life everlasting. People need to know that it's through Christ alone they can be saved, and we need to be ready, prepared with the gospel of peace. And it's the gospel that brings peace between God and man. Friends, you need to understand today that without Christ, we are at enmity with God. We are enemies of God. And it's only through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can have peace with God. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield was huge. It was around 2.5 feet wide and 4.5 feet tall. It was made in a way that it was curved around the soldier's body. It was made in a way that he could cover himself up from arrows and other darts being fired at him. It was made in a way that he could engage the enemy and only thrust out his sword while protecting the rest of his body. It was interesting too, and most of you know this, but the Roman soldiers could march together and they could link together their shields in what they called the testudo or the tortoise formation. And they would, the guys in front would link their shields together and the guys in back would put their shields on top, and it would protect them from the volley of the arrows that would come. And I think it's an amazing picture that the Word of God gives us here. How important is our faith? Listen, if you go out on the battlefield and the other army has archers and you don't have a shield, you're dead. You're dead. The only way you can march and engage the other enemy, the only way you could ever get to them is if you had a shield. Our faith is absolutely vital. He says, above all. More important than anything else is that we trust in God. Amen. Now, sometimes the Bible talks about the faith. That's our set of beliefs, our doctrine. Sometimes the Bible talks about just faith, and that's our trust in the Lord. That's what we have here. The shield of faith is our trust in God. And ultimately, you can't come to God unless you what? Believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to believe him. We have to trust in him. We can't come to God except through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it comes with faith. We've got to trust in him. This is our shield. It protects us. And I think it's interesting that he talks and uses faith and describes it as the shield, because it's not our faith alone. God never called us to serve him alone. He's called us to serve him together. Amen. You know what we do? I take my faith and it links together with your faith. And Satan can sit back and fire all the darts he wants to, all the arrows he wants to, all the missiles he wants to. But as long as we stand together in faith in Christ, he can't get to us. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. What a picture. The Romans used plywood to make their shields. They took thin layers of wood and they laid part of it this way, and the next layer they laid cross grain, and they built their shields that way. We still build with plywood today. It's one of the strongest things we use in construction today is plywood. And then they would oftentimes soak leather in a type of oil, a non-flammable oil, and they would cover the shield with that leather. And so when the fiery darts would come, it would hit that shield and be extinguished. And they would take their arrows and they would dip them in a mixture of tar, pitch, they called it pitch, but tar and sulfur, and they would light it on fire and shoot it. And it looks really cool in the movies, but it was devastating. It was devastating. You know, when you got stuff made out of straw and wood, it's a bad deal when fire comes. But he says our faith can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. I just want to ask you a question. Do you believe the word of God? You see, it's easy when you're sitting in church to say, I believe. But when the doctor calls back with test results that aren't good, do you still believe? When the tragedy happens and you lose your job, do you still believe? When awful things happen with a family member, do we still believe? See, this is why it's above all. Because if we lose our faith, we lose everything. We must believe. We must trust in Him. And when you truly believe, when you truly believe the Word of God and you trust in Christ alone, look at what happens in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. In another place, it's called the hope of salvation. The helmet of the hope of salvation. You know what this is, friends? This is the assurance that we have when you believe the Word of God and you know you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know you have eternal life, and it's like a helmet. It protects your head. Because when Satan comes along with his sword and he bangs you upside the head, if you've got that helmet on, you might be shooken just a little bit, but you're not taken down because I know I have eternal life. Isn't that good? See, God's word tells us over and over and over again that our salvation is secure. You can trust if you've trusted in Jesus. You can know that you have eternal life. I want you to look at John 5:24 real quick. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's the truth, and believeth on him that sent me, that's the faith, hath everlasting life. Did you see it? You get the truth of the Word of God, the gospel, you believe it, then you have, present tense, everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation. When you trust Jesus, you have everlasting life, and in no point in the future will you be condemned. Amen. But is present tense, pass from death unto life. You see, the salvation we get, people always want to argue with me about whether you can lose your salvation or not. Well, salvation, what is that? It's not like God gives you a little box and says, be careful, don't break it. It's fragile. No, it's not something that he puts in your hands. It's something that he does inside of you. He changes you. He gives you everlasting life. And when you get saved, when you repent and trust Christ, you get everlasting life. You have it. You are passed from death to life, and you will not be condemned. But what if you do this, or what if you do that, or what if you do this? You take all your what ifs and just put them right back into verse 24 right there. Shall not come into condemnation. Well, I knew somebody that said they got saved and they went out and killed 70 people. Has it ever occurred to you that they might not have been saved in the first place? You know, there is something that we would call false conversion. Jesus described them as tares among the wheat. Satan puts people in the church that aren't really saved. And by the way, every time I talk about this, somebody gets nervous, like, am I a weed or a tare? There's not a sign on your forehead right now. I don't know. I don't know. Don't be surprised. Satan's ministers are transformed into angels of light. You know, some of the most popular preachers in America today are false prophets. People follow them by the thousands. Don't be surprised by that. You say, well, how do you know? I don't know. You know. Romans chapter 8 says that if you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, and His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Amen. When you're saved, you know you're saved. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm saved. What do I do? Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. What do I do? I don't know if I'm saved. Repent, turn from your sin and unbelief to Christ and trust Him with all your heart. It's the same answer for all of us, friend. Amen. And by the way, that repentance and that faith, it's not a once and done. It has a beginning. Yes, there's a day, a moment when you're born again, but it's a continual action. You keep trusting in Him. You keep repenting day by day. So we take the shield of faith, and that gives us the helmet of salvation, the security and the assurance that comes with it. I want to tell you, friends, I know I'm saved. And it's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because of all the good that I do, because I don't do much good. It's because of Christ. It's because I repented and I trusted in Him. It's because I'm trusting in Him yet today. I'm saved because of Jesus. I know that I'm saved. I have on that helmet of salvation. It doesn't matter what the devil says or does. It doesn't matter what I do or anyone else does. I know that I'm saved. How can you have such assurance? How can you be so sure? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Friend, if you don't know you're saved today, I plead with you to repent of your sin and trust in Christ with all your heart and get in His Word. Be faithful in His Word if you want to have that assurance. And verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. The Roman soldier carried different weapons, but one of the main weapons they carried was called a gladius. It's about an 18-inch or 2-foot-long sword, what we would call, some of you guys, Mike would probably call it a little knife. It was two-edged. And though you could slice with it, it was mostly used for stabbing. Because they would get behind their shield with their other soldiers with them, and they would march forward. By the way, none of this armor goes on the back. It's all on the front. Because the Roman soldiers weren't ever to retreat. They always moved forward. And the Christian soldiers, we are always to move forward. And they marched forward with their sandals with the cleats in them. And they had their breastplate on and their belt on and their sword in their hand and their shield on their arm and their helmet on their head. And they marched forward side by side, and they would stab at the enemy with that gladius, with that sword. And they would push them back and push them back. And that piercing sword and my Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know what the Word of God does? It drives Satan back. And it pierces into men's hearts and souls to show them their need of a Savior. Friends, we are soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ if we're saved. And we ought to be marching forward unto war with the whole armor on. moving forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you today, are you in the battle? You see, you can't have any of this armor if you're not saved. Amen. You're on the wrong side if you're not saved. You may say, well, I'm not a bad person. I'm a pretty good person. But if you don't have Christ, then you're not on the Lord's arm, in the Lord's army. You're not on his side. You must repent and trust in him. You must be saved if you want to be in the Lord's army. And if you are saved, are you fighting? Are you in the battle? Because, friend, the war is raging around you whether you like it or not. Satan is attacking you moment by moment, whether you realize it or not. And we must put on his armor and fight. This morning we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And while they're coming, would you stand with me, please? Have you repented and trusted Christ? Do you have that assurance of your salvation? I mean today, friend, do you know beyond any shadow of doubt, if you died right now, you'd be in heaven with God forever? If you don't know that, you can know that if you'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for our sins on the cross. He rose again the third day. You can repent and trust in him, and he will save you. If you are saved, but you've not been fighting, you've not been putting on the whole armor of God day by day, you need to repent. We all need to repent. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us, ask him to help us to get in the battle day by day, to put off the old man, to put on the new man. If he's convicting your heart this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is calling you to a decision today. Please listen to his Spirit and yield to his Spirit today. We can't do this on our own. We have to have the Lord's help. If he's calling you today, you come while we sing.
Page 560.